Right, we're here in the book of Psalms, and this sermon is about Bible memorization. The name of the sermon is Hiding God's Word in Your Heart. Hiding God's Word in Your Heart. Now turn to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And so Psalms 119 is actually our main chapter we're going to focus on today. We're going to go back to Psalms 1 later on. But Psalms 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. And so our custom is to read the entire chapter, so I kind of had to make a choice of will there be part of Psalms 119, or we'll pick just kind of a different opening chapter. So I decided to pick a different opening chapter. But this month, you know, we're trying to memorize 3 John as a church and finish it on July 28th is the deadline, the last day to do that. And everyone who does it is going to get, you know, a prize. And, you know, Bible memorization should be an important part of our lives. And it's a good thing for us. It's a valuable thing for us. And I kind of have two purposes in this sermon. One is I want to convince you on the importance of memorizing the Bible, but then I want to convince you that you have the ability to do it.
Man,
because a lot of people, they might think it's important, but they just don't think they have the ability. And so I want to try to give you the confidence and show you kind of some tips of what you can do. Now, in Psalms 119, I want you to notice verse number 11. And this is the most famous verse on Bible memorization. Right. Mm-hmm. It's a great verse. It says, "Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Now, this morning's sermon was kind of a long sermon, and this sermon is not meant to be as long. And I decided instead of just, obviously we're going to show a lot of Bible, but we're really just going to look at this one verse and see 3 points from Psalms 119, verse 11. Really break down what's being said and see what the Bible says. And what it says is, "Thy word have I hidden mine heart." The first thing I want you to notice is it says, "Thy word have I hidden mine heart." See, you must make a personal choice to hide God's word in your heart.
Right.
Okay? "Thy word have I." So everybody, when you read the Bible, or you're memorizing the Bible, you see this verse, you have to have the attitude, "Thy word have I." This is something you're deciding to do.
Yeah.
I can't memorize it for you. Your parents can't memorize it for you. Your brother can't memorize it for you. Your sister can't. Nobody can force you to memorize it. Your husband can't. Your wife can't. You've got to make that choice. "Thy word have I it in mine heart." Okay, now turn to Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2. Now look, we in life, we memorize a lot of different things. We memorize people's birthdays. We memorize their names. We memorize facts about sports or entertainment and all of these other things. Okay? So you might not have the capacity to memorize as much as somebody else, but you still have the ability to memorize some.
Yeah.
Okay? Look, we're not competing against one another. It's not me versus you or somebody else versus you. No, it's just you personally deciding you're going to take this on yourself and do the best you can and memorize God's word. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." The things we memorize in life, we memorize things that are important to us.
Right, yeah.
Now, there are things that we have to memorize. Like for your job, there are certain facts or things you just have to know. Or daily things in your lives, just certain facts and things that you need to know on a daily basis for your life. But look, we also memorize a lot of things that we make a choice to memorize. And it's like, you know, we ought to make a choice to memorize the Bible. And that's what's being said in Psalm 119, verse number 11. Notice what it says in Proverbs 2, verse 1. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with me." It says, if thou wilt receive my words. And see, there's a choice that's being made. When you hear the word of God, you can make a choice to receive the word of God. If thou wilt receive. Now, notice how thou is singular. This is being said to basically one person. Okay? He's saying, if you're going to receive my words, this is a choice that you must make, that you've got to decide. Look, I can't force you to read the Bible.
Right.
As much as I try to motivate you to read the Bible, I mean, I preached a whole sermon, and then, of course, the last 10 minutes, I'm trying to motivate you to read the Bible. But I can't force you to do it.
Right.
I can't force you to wake up and turn off Facebook. I can't force, I mean, I guess I could knock on your door at 6 in the morning and then just, like, you know, hide your computer from you. I can't force you to do that. I can't force you to memorize the Bible. I would like to. Man, if I could force everybody, if I could force myself to just do it every single day without having to, you know, always not get distracted with other things. But honestly, it's a personal choice we make.
Right.
And every single one of us, we make the decision every day to put off the old man and to put on the new man. There's the old man and there's the new man. Okay? These are different from one another. The old man wants the things that are wrong. The new man wants the things that are right. And by the way, when you get saved, your old man doesn't start desiring what's right.
Right.
No, you get indwelled with the Spirit of God. Because, see, the Bible says, didn't we see in the first sermon, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word? If desire was automatic, God wouldn't have to command you to desire. He says the newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Why? Because of the fact it's not automatic. When you get saved, you still have to make that choice to desire the Word of God. Okay? And what he says here, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, this is a choice we make to receive his words and hide my commandments with me. Okay? He hears this from his father. He's got to make this choice to memorize this, keep it in his heart, keep it in his mind, to permanently have it locked away. And so the first thing we see in us making a choice to hide the Word of God in our heart is simply that you must make the choice to memorize the Word of God. But I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30. What I want you to realize is that God does not hide the Word of God from us.
Yeah.
We're commanded to hide God's Word in our hearts. God doesn't hide it from us. Now, the Catholic Church, yeah, they try to hide it from us.
Yeah.
We saw a whole sermon on that, of what they tried to do for over 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. They did everything they could to hide the Word of God. Eventually, they gave up and said, okay, we'll give you an English Bible. Here it is, Dewey Rounds. So, the Catholic Church tries to hide the Word of God.
Yeah.
God doesn't try to hide the Word of God from us.
Man.
He wants people to have the Word of God. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. See, God's commandment, it's not hidden from us. It's not that God has it locked away someplace and it's hard to find.
Right. Yeah.
It's not that you have to go to Bible college for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you found the magic key after 4 years.
Uh-huh.
They give you the diploma and it's like, oh, there we go. Now I can have the Word of God. Now I'm smart enough to understand the Word of God. You know, before I wasn't smart enough. I needed this 4-year Bible college degree. But finally it's unlocked because you hid the Word of God from me for 4 years. Isn't that what Baptist churches say?
Right.
If you really want to know the Word of God, you've got to go to Bible college.
Right.
Now, I don't know about you, but I thought if I really wanted to know the Word of God, I just opened it and read it.
Right.
I mean, I'm saved. I've got the Holy Spirit of God inside of me, so why would I need to go to Bible college and waste all of my money for a degree that is useless?
Yep. Yeah.
Right.
And look, I understand people have been to Bible college in this room. I'm not faulting you for that, because when I first got saved and I was zealous for the things of God, I almost went to Bible college.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, man, I want to serve God my whole life. And what happens? Well, Baptist churches try to guilt you into it. They try to make you feel like, man, if you're really a good Christian, you're going to go to Bible college.
Right.
Sacrifice the world.
Yeah.
Sacrifice your degree. Sacrifice your money to serve God. Just go and serve God. At least give God a couple years of your life. I mean, isn't that what they say?
Yeah.
And look, when I was newly saved, you know, my plan was originally to get my degree and then go to Bible college. Okay? And then, thankfully, during that time period, I learned, as I read the Bible more, that, you know, actually, I wasn't even talking about Bible.
Right.
Because quite honestly, you know what happens is Bible college is usually very expensive,
mm-hmm.
yep.
and it gives you a useless degree.
Yeah.
Right? You can't apply to be an engineer and then just say, well, yeah, I want to be a mechanical engineer. Here's my Bible college degree in theology. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
And so the reason why they have this system is it kind of locks you into their Baptist system your whole life. Even if you want to depart from it, you really can't.
Yep. Yeah.
Because you put in money and you've already made that sacrifice. They make it difficult. And that's the way Bible colleges work. And by the aliens, I can tell, it's no different here in the Philippines than in America.
Right.
It's the same way that it works. But look, God's Word is not hidden from us. And a new believer can read the Word of God, and they can learn the Word of God.
Right.
Okay? And I don't care if that person is a 5-year-old child. That 5-year-old child picks up the Word of God, they're going to learn from it.
Yep.
Right. You say, well, they're not smart enough. Look, you don't have to be that smart to understand in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that, you know, obviously the more you learn the Bible, there's things that you can learn and it takes some time. I'm not saying a new believer should just open up the book of Ezekiel and say, man, I'm going to town on this thing. It's like, that's going to be pretty difficult. You obviously start at the more, you know, basic ones. The book of John is what I recommend for new people reading the Bible. Book of John, book of Romans, or just through the New Testament. You're not going to get everything, but you're going to get some things.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. And here's a secret. There's plenty I don't get in the Word of God now in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. As I read the Word of God, there's a lot of chapters I'm thinking, I don't know what that's talking about. I don't claim to know everything, and nobody knows everything. So it doesn't matter what stage you're at, you're not going to know everything. And so say, well, I've got to go back to the Hebrew to figure this out. No, I mean, God's word is not hidden from us in English or Filipino languages. No, God's word is here for us. If we have the word of God, we can learn the word of God. Turn back to Psalms 119. Now, no Baptist church is going to tell you the word of God is hidden from them. But they act like it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to admit to the fact that we don't believe that you can actually learn the word of God. That is what they believe.
Yeah.
They believe that you can't actually learn the word of God unless you go to Bible college. What they're really concerned about is that you're going to read the Bible and come to your own conclusions on something.
Right. That's
true. Now, look, I'm not concerned of you reading the Bible coming to your own conclusions. Now, if you read the Bible on your own and you walk away with the conclusion that you have to be baptized to be saved, well, here's the thing. You don't have the Spirit of Truth inside of you guiding you.
Yeah, I am.
And so, you know, go ahead. You know, you're not going to probably last that long at this church. Yeah. You go out soul winning and you start quoting Acts 2:38. It's like, whoa. You think we have a problem here. Okay? Look, as a saved person, you're not going to just believe crazy things. You're reading the Bible as a saved person. You read Luke 16. Oh, I think it's a parable. I don't think hell's real. You're never going to come to that conclusion.
Right. Yeah.
Now, you'll come to some conclusions that are different than me. There's different interpretations of verses, but you're not going to come to different doctrine.
Right.
So, look, there's verses that people have different opinions on. People, you know, look, James 2, people are going to have a lot of different opinions.
Yeah.
I have my opinion on it, and, you know, within like-minded pastors we respect, I know at least three different opinions, and I do hold one of those opinions. But here's the thing, we all hold the opinion that salvation is by grace through faith.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, yeah, you can have a different interpretation of what's the point of this chapter, but you're not going to walk away saying, man, I think I got to quit drinking to be saved. I think I got to quit smoking to be saved. I think I got to speak in tongues to be saved. You'll never have that conclusion.
Yeah. Right.
Why? Because the Spirit of Truth is inside of you, guiding you.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, will you believe some wrong things? Yeah, when you first start reading the Bible, you'll have a thought, and you're like, man, it looks like this is what it's saying.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, like, you know, 10 pages later, it's like, oh, whoops. I was wrong on that. So, yeah, you know, you're going to be wrong on some stuff, but you're still going to learn stuff. God's word is not hidden from us. Now, Psalms 119, notice what it says in verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me.
Amen.
What does he say? He's like, don't hide your commandments from me. I want to know the word of God. I want to learn the word of God. Don't hide it from me. And the good news is this, God doesn't hide the word of God from
you. Amen.
Now, look, people will try to hide it from you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not a common church here, but the Orthodox Church is a common church worldwide. And I remember I mentioned something in a sermon about it a long time ago before this church started, back in Sacramento. And I looked online at this Orthodox website, and they had like a Bible reading plan. And their Bible reading plan was in like a chapter in Isaiah. I think it was in the book of Isaiah. But it wasn't every single verse. It was like verse 1 and 4 and 8 and 10. They just have you skip like half the verses. And it's like, what in the world kind of... I mean, I've seen a lot of Bible reading charts. But I've never seen, you know, hey, turn to Isaiah 55 and read verses 1, 3, 7, 8, 12 through 14. I mean, what kind of a Bible reading chart is that? You say, why do they do that? Because they want to make you think that they're encouraging you to read the Bible. What they're actually doing is restricting verses that they don't want you to read.
Yeah.
So they'll even give you a chart as long as the fact Leviticus 20 is never in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As long as Genesis 19 is never in it.
Mm-hmm.
As long as Judges 19 is never in it. They'll make you think that they want you to read the Bible, but they don't. Now look, at the beginning of our church, right after the mission trip in February, we had reading through the New Testament cover to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I didn't say, well, you know, skip, you know, Jude verse number 11. No, it's like, read the whole thing.
Yeah.
And guess what? You know what? If we could all get through the Old Testament in a month, we would do that. Maybe we'll have an Old Testament challenge sometime. Why? Because you need to read the whole Bible. Old Testament, New Testament, it's all good, it's all perfect, it's pure. God is not hiding anything from us.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Now, I want you to notice also in Psalms 119 verse 11, so this is a personal choice that you're making. But I want you to notice in Psalms 119:11 where it says, thy word have I hid. I want to focus on that word hid. When you think about the word hid, hid implies that it's something that's really deep down there.
Right.
Okay? Like, for example, in the Dark Ages, you had to hide the word of God or you could be killed. What does that mean? It means it's not on top of your couch where it can be seen.
Yeah.
It means it's going to be in a spot where you got to put it away so nobody else can find it. Okay? And see, God is telling us to put effort to hide God's word in our hearts. Hide it in your minds. Now, turn to Exodus 2. Exodus 2, we'll see this from the Bible. And so when it comes to Bible memorization, and God telling us to hide his word in our hearts, yeah, he wants us to get it down deep in there.
Mm-hmm.
To memorize it and have it memorized, and as much as we can, try to keep that in our minds. Because it's going to help us, okay? In Exodus 2, notice what it says in verse 2. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And so this is Moses' mom. And he's being hid. You say, why is he being hid? Well, because Egypt is going to kill every single child. So basically, if you have a child, you have to hide your child. Okay? Otherwise, you know, their government is worse than hiding the Bible. They're just killing all the children. Now, it says she could only hide him 3 months. You say, why is it that she could only hide him 3 months? What happens after 3 months? Well, here's the thing. Babies, throughout their entire lives, they cry. But when they're newborn, their cries aren't that loud.
Mm-hmm.
After 3 months, those cries are getting louder and louder, and she's saying, oh, they're going to hear the cries, and basically they'll take our baby away and kill him. Okay? So she can only hide in 3 months, because, look, you know, children are loud. And they're crying when they're first born, but their cries aren't that loud. As they get a little bit stronger, they get even louder with their cries. And so she can only hide it in 3 months, because after 3 months, she's not going to be able to hide it. They're going to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's not hiding it, because they're aware that he's there. Her goal is that nobody's going to be aware that Moses is there. But after 3 months, they're going to be aware of it, because he's going to cry loud. It's going to go through the house. People are going to hear. Neighbors are going to report or whatever. They're going to be aware of it. So she can only hide it in 3 months. So notice what it says in verse 3. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. So she takes great effort to try to protect Moses, and obviously God basically works a miracle here where the child is fine, and she actually gets to nurse that child and everything. It's an amazing story in the Word of God, and that just shows you put your trust in God and he can protect you. But I want you to understand when it says she's hiding, what is she hiding her son from? She's hiding him from an Egyptian empire. See, if you're hiding something, it means you have something you don't want somebody to find.
Yeah.
So the question is, if we're hiding God's word in our hearts, what are we hiding the word of God from? Okay. Well, there's two things that I thought of that we're hiding the word of God from. One thing that we're hiding the word of God from is time. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean that as time goes by, you forget things.
Right.
And so you're supposed to really hide it deep down there. So even if it's 5 years from now, you don't forget it.
Yep.
Man.
See, when you learn stuff, you know it really well at that time. But look, after time goes by, you don't know it that well anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now look, I used to preach the gospel in Spanish. And honestly, I don't know that many Spanish verses now because I've forgotten. I haven't preached the gospel in Spanish. I know Romans 3:10, como está escrito, no hay justo ni uno. But that's about the only verse I remember, because that's at the beginning of the gospel presentation. It's like, I don't remember all the verses anymore. You say, why? Because as time goes by, you lose your knowledge, you forget about it. And so when the Bible says, hide the word of God, basically you know it so well that as a long time goes by, you don't forget it. Okay? Now look, when you get married, you memorize your wife's birthday, you memorize your kid's birthday, and the reason why you don't forget it is because every year you get a reminder of it. But if there's something you don't know for a long period of time, you forget it.
Yeah.
Look, when I was in college, I was really good at calculus. I used to tutor calculus. But if I took a calculus test right now, I probably wouldn't score that high. You say, why? I don't remember all the things that you have to memorize.
Right.
I used to know how to do them. I don't know how to do all that stuff anymore. I mean, I know how to do derivatives, but that's about it. After that, it's like, I don't remember how to calculate the area of a three-dimensional cylinder. It's like, I don't know. It's not like in my daily life that's important. Okay? So, you know, you have to hide it from time, because as time goes by, you will forget stuff automatically.
Yep.
If you know something really well now, doesn't mean you're going to know it in 5 years.
Yep.
I learn things. Sometimes I hear things in sermons. I'm thinking, man, that's great. And then all of a sudden I hear it preached like 6 months later. I'm like, oh, I used to know that.
Right.
Say, what took place? Well, I heard something. It was interesting. And then you forget about it.
Yeah.
The facts from this morning's sermon about the Bible and the history of it, hey, it's really interesting. In preparing the sermon, I learned it. And, you know, quite honestly, I'll probably forget some of those names of those Bibles off the top of my head in another month or two. Now, it's still useful because it still makes the sermon more impactful. You're still learning. You're seeing the authenticity of the Word of God. But look, you're going to forget stuff over time. You're not going to memorize everything forever. You forget stuff. So one thing we're hiding the Word of God from, we're hiding it from time. Because time will take away knowledge that you have.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that you're hiding the Word of God from, you're hiding the Word of God from other knowledge.
Yeah.
Because there's only so much knowledge you can get inside of you.
Yeah.
And so if you learn some knowledge, then it's going to cause you to forget some of the other knowledge that you know. That's the way it works. And so you got to make a choice in your life, you know, what do you want to memorize? Okay? Because look, we all memorize lots of different things, and oftentimes we have things we memorize and we want to keep it memorized, and we don't want to sacrifice that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we focus on that, we think about that, but the truth is this, you're going to have to make a choice.
Yeah.
Are you going to memorize the Word of God, or are you going to memorize a lot of pointless things that are going to do you nothing in life?
Right.
Now, I understand there's things that are useful that we memorize, but there's a lot of things that are not that useful that we memorize.
Yeah.
A lot of times people know lots of facts about some celebrity, some musician. You know, I've memorized lots of sports facts because that's what I was really into as a kid. You know, this guy had this batting average in 19-whatever year. Look, that's not very useful information.
Yep.
And you got to make your choice because you're hiding the Word of God from other knowledge, because as more knowledge comes in, what's it going to do? It's going to discard some of the knowledge that you have.
Yep.
And the knowledge that gets discarded, you don't want it to be the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You would rather it be something like a stupid fact about, you know, what day vice condoms. Just forget about that. Okay? Maybe memorize the day he died, but not the day he's born. Okay? Don't memorize this. You know, we have pointless information. Look, you don't want the Word of God to be something that gets lost out of your memory. You want to keep that permanently in your head. Okay, now turn back to Psalms 1. Psalms 1. And so you have to understand when you're memorizing the Word of God. The way it works is that if you're memorizing a verse, you get it memorized, you can quote it, and then what happens? Well, 20 minutes later, you can't quote it anymore. You memorize it short term, and see, the goal is to get it into your long term memory.
Yeah.
Because there's stuff that you memorize in your short term, and you got it, but then it kind of fades out. The goal is that you can start, why? Because time takes away knowledge, right? That's one thing you're hiding the Word of God from, time. So you got to get it really hidden, so as more time goes by, you still have it.
Yeah.
So that means sometimes you memorize it, and then the next day you memorize it again. You keep memorizing it to get it fully locked in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now we'll talk about that a little bit more later on, but notice what it says in Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, the law of the Lord is in reference to the Bible itself.
Yeah.
All the Bibles. Okay, you know, the series, The Way of the Master, Ray Comfort's, you know, evangelism techniques, he quotes, you know, the law of the Lord. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Therefore, tell them, you know, it's wrong to commit adultery. And just use the Ten Commandments. That's not what the law of the Lord is talking about.
Yeah.
The law of the Lord is in reference to the Bible itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's not telling you in Psalms 1, verse 2, hey, just delight yourself and thou shalt not kill in the other nine commandments. It's like, no, there's a lot to memorize in this book. Okay? There's a lot of stuff to know. All of this is the law of the Lord. The book of James is the law of the Lord. The book of Hebrews is the law of the Lord. The book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, the book of Genesis. It doesn't matter what the book is. It's part of the law of the Lord. Now, I understand that we refer to the first five books as the law, but in what the law of the Lord is, when you look up that phrase in the Bible, it's in reference to the whole Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is Psalms 1. It's not Genesis through Deuteronomy. People say Genesis through Deuteronomy is the law, but when you look up law of the Lord in the Bible, that's the whole Bible itself.
Right.
All of the Bible. Every single one. Okay? And so we're supposed to delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on day and night. How can you meditate on God's Word day and night unless you have something memorized? Because look, when you're going to sleep at night and you have your head on the pillow and you're supposed to meditate on the Word of God, if you don't have anything memorized, what are you meditating on?
Right.
You're meditating on, well, the name of the first book in the Bible is Genesis. No, the actual words is what God wants you to meditate on.
Right.
And so look, you're going for a ride in a jitney, meditate on the Word of God. That's what he's telling you. Meditate day and night, throughout the day. Now I understand that, obviously, we're doing other tasks. I'm not saying it's always possible to just You know, my old job, when I was on Microsoft Excel all day long, back when I worked in Maryland, and, you know, oftentimes I would do some sorts of projects where it was really just copy and paste. I'd done it so many times that I was like a robot. It's just like type, copy, paste, just without even thinking about it. So I could meditate on a lot of other things. But then there were other times I'm working on a project and I really had to stop and think about it. And I really couldn't meditate on anything except the project I was working on. So I understand that, you know, depending on what you're doing, you might not be able to meditate just on the Word of God.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not saying you're driving and there's heavy traffic. Just think about the Word of God and just trust God to take the wheel. Okay? It doesn't quite work that way. But what I am saying is, to honestly meditate on God's Word day and night, what it's implying is that you have some of the Bible memorized, that you can meditate. Okay? Now, turn back to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And so, the last point that we have here in Psalms 119, verse 11, notice how it says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." What is the Bible saying? If you memorize the Word of God, it will help you not to sin against God.
Yeah.
Right. Now, what if I told you that, hey, if you spend 30 minutes a day doing this, it's going to help you not sin against God? Doesn't that sound like it's worth it?
Yeah.
It's going to help you not sin against God. Sounds pretty important to me.
Because
when you sin against God, you reap what you sow.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not going to be worth it. And so if memorizing the Word of God helps you not to sin against God, sounds like it's something that's pretty valuable to do. You say, why is it that it would help me not sin against God? We'll turn to John 14. John 14. Now, if we really believe this, it would motivate us to memorize the Bible more. It would motivate us to put aside other distractions, because we'd obviously see real value in not sinning against God if we realize the judgment that comes. Yes, as a believer, you can go through judgment of God in this life. You reap what you sow. But oftentimes we just don't have enough faith in what the Bible says. Now, notice what it says in John 14. And one reason it's going to help you not sin against God is because you'll remember what's right and wrong when you're in a moment to commit a sin. Okay? John 14, verses 25 and 26. "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Notice how he says, bring all things to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit will help you remember what the Bible says.
Yeah.
That implies that you already know what it says.
Right.
It will bring it to remembrance. Look, if you don't know what the Bible says, if you've never read the book of Ezekiel and you've never heard it quoted from, the Holy Spirit can't bring it to your remembrance.
Right. Yeah.
If you don't know what it's even talking about, it can't come to your remembrance. It's something you already know. And so what happens in life is we read the Bible, we hear sermons, we hear lots of great things. It doesn't mean we remember everything. It doesn't mean that we remember, hey, in John chapter 5, verse 24 is a great verse to use for soul. Now, we remember some of those things. We don't remember all of them. But you still kind of have it down there.
Okay?
And the Holy Ghost can help you remember it. Now, you don't want it to be gone from your memory, though. You want to know it as well as you can, so it's easier to be brought to your remembrance. Because if it's something that you only kind of barely know, there's a good chance you're going to forget. I've had those times where I'm looking at a verse in the Bible, and I'm like, man, I know there's a great explanation for this verse, but I don't remember it. And you can't remember what the verse is talking about. You want to, as well as you can, remember things. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. It brings to remembrance. But it does not teach you new things that you don't know. Now, when you read the Bible, it can teach you. It's the Spirit of truth. But if you're just sitting here, not reading the Bible, and then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost is like, hey, this is what this verse is talking about, and you don't even know the verse, that doesn't take place.
Yeah.
This is not a Pentecostal church. No, you read the Bible, you learn, and the Holy Ghost can help you remember what you've learned. Now turn to Matthew 4. Matthew 4. And so what takes place? Well, let's say, for example, that, you know, you struggle with drinking alcohol. And if you know the verses about alcohol, what's going to take place? As you're tempted to commit that sin, you're thinking, wow, you know, this is not for kings, O Lemuel.
Right.
It's not for you. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. You know, woe to them that are be given to wine. When you remember these verses in the Bible, it basically makes it a lot harder to commit that sin.
Yeah.
Say why? Well, the word of God is quick and powerful.
Yeah.
Sharper than any two-edged sword. And so, you know, you're having those times where you're just like, man, I just don't feel like reading the Bible. But wait a minute, read therein all the days of thy life. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, man, I need to read every day. I don't feel like it, I'm tired, I gotta do it anyway. Why? God's word tells me to do it.
Right.
And so when you have verses in your mind, the Holy Spirit will help bring those to remembrance to make you feel guilty about doing what's wrong or choosing not to do what's right. But you have to actually know those verses and what it says to begin with. Okay? Now, notice what it says in Matthew 4. So the Holy Ghost will help you remember things. But also, what you see Jesus do in the Bible, he actually quotes the Word of God to fight off temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, Jesus was sinless, but he gives us a pattern of what he did. Okay? Matthew 4, starting in verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, when you cross-reference this in the Bible, because the stories in multiple Gospels, he's not getting tempted after the 40 days only. He's getting tempted during the 40 days as well. Now, what Matthew 4 is highlighting is the temptation after the 40 days. Okay, so it doesn't highlight that he was tempted the whole 40 days. But look, the devil always is trying to get you to commit sin. He's just going to kind of turn it up at certain points in your life. And he's gone 40 days, and the devil's coming to him. And he says, if thou be the Son of God, notice how he casts doubt on the Word of God.
Right.
The devil does the same thing today. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. So he's saying, if you're really the Son of God, then you have the power to make these stones bread because you're hungry. Well, what does Jesus say? But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So when he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, what is he doing? He's quoting the Word of God.
Right.
It is written. He's not saying it's written by Confucius. He's not saying it's written by Zoroastrianism or some other religion. No, it's written in the Old Testament. It's written in the law of the Lord. So he's quoting the Bible. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Verse number 5, then the devil taketh them up into the holy city and setteth them on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Now, what the devil's doing here is actually misquoting the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It's very close, but just a little bit of change changes everything.
Right, yeah.
Right? You know, in the Jehovah's Witness false translation of their Bible, I mean, what's the name of it? I can't think off the top of my head. What's the name?
New World Translation.
But they take John 1:1. And instead of saying in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was a God, instead of the Word was God.
Yeah.
They changed the Word was God to the Word was a God. Now that's only one letter. But all of a sudden you just taught that Jesus is a God and not the God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't take much to change what the Word of God says. It only takes moving things around a little bit, adding a little letter here, adding a word here, adding no here, or something like that, and it changes everything.
Right, yeah.
And so, you know, the devil has always done this as his plan. So he's misquoting the Bible here in verse 6, but notice what it says in verse 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So once again, he quotes the Word of God. Verse number 8, again the devil taketh them up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So three times Jesus quotes the Word of God. He said, where is he quoting from? He's quoting from the book of Deuteronomy all three times.
Yeah.
Now look, the book of Deuteronomy is probably not the number one book on your list that you'd say to memorize. More verses from the book of Deuteronomy. But Jesus obviously knew the Bible really well. He's quoting from the book of Deuteronomy.
Right.
But see, knowing the book of Deuteronomy, it's giving us a pattern of what we can do in our lives. See, this is what I'm saying. If you have a sin that you struggle with, memorize verses about that sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you should do. You say, why? Because the Holy Ghost will bring it to remembrance when you're tempted to commit that sin. And quoting the Word of God is going to help you not commit that sin. Doesn't the Bible say that? that I might not sin against thee. So actually memorizing the Word of God, it's going to help you not sin against God, because the Holy Ghost will bring it to your remembrance, and you use the Word of God to fight off the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so quote the Word of God when you're struggling. You say, man, I'm tempted to commit this sin. Memorize verses about that.
Yeah.
And look, we all struggle with various things. I don't stand up here saying that I'm perfect and I never struggle. No, you know, there's verses I need to memorize because they're helpful for me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, memorizing the Word of God, that is going to be helpful in your life. It's going to help you not sin against God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, as I said, this is not the longest sermon. I want to go to the conclusion now, though. It's kind of a basic sermon, just really applying Psalms 119:11, because that is the most famous verse of Bible memorization, and it's a great verse, and it's something we can definitely apply to our lives. But I want to talk about a few things here in closing. One is, you know, the I can't do it attitude. Because a lot of people have the attitude, I can't memorize the Word of God. I don't have that ability. I can't memorize chapters. I can't memorize verses. You know, and people say this all the time. You know, sometimes, you know, if you have some of the Bible memorized, you know, people say, wow, you know, it's great that God's given you an ability to memorize the Word of God. And I'm thinking, man, I spent like 5 hours this past week, you know, working on it. It's not like I was just like, boom, I have the Word of God memorized. Like, no, I spent a lot of time.
Right.
Now, look, obviously, some people can memorize better than others. Some people have better memories. But we're not comparing ourselves to one another. It's unwise to compare yourself versus someone else.
Right.
Maybe you don't have the ability to memorize 50 chapters. That's fine. You know, you're not trying to compete to know more about the Bible than anyone else. You're just trying to learn yourself. So, yeah, I understand that you might not be able to memorize as well as other people, but you're able to memorize something.
Yeah.
Right. We all have things memorized. Now, 3 John is very doable to memorize. I intentionally picked a chapter that's not, it's not like Psalms 119. We didn't have a 2-month challenge to memorize Psalms 119 as a church. You know, we've memorized Psalms 1 as a church before.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, if you're really extra motivated and you memorize 3 John, then move on to another one. That's fine. That's great. But it is something, the 3 John, that I believe anyone can do. Right. Honestly, I believe the kids in our room. You know, depending on the ages, obviously my son, I don't expect to memorize. But I think some of the kids can definitely memorize, depending on their age. And so, look, I do believe it's something that we do have the ability to do. Okay? You say, well, Brother Stucky, I learn, and then I forget. Well, I mean, all of us learn and forget.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. I mean, I mentioned that in the sermon. We all learn things, and we forget them. But what you do along the way is you learn something.
Right.
And what I want you to understand is that when you memorize the Bible, even if you do forget it, it was still useful. You say, why? You still learn some things that you take away with you.
Right.
Look, I preached a lot of sermons because I was memorizing the Bible, and I found something. Look, I don't have this memorized now, but Leviticus 14, verses 33 through 57 memorized, word for word. And if, I don't know what motivated me to memorize that passage, but I ended up preaching sermons on that passage. I learned a lot. Now, I can't quote it word for word, but it was still useful.
Right.
I can tell you what that section is about, both the literal and spiritual applications that were, or symbolic applications we can pull from it. And so what I want you to understand is, if you memorize 3 John with us, it doesn't mean you're going to have it memorized 6 months from now. But even if you forget it, you learn something.
Right.
You still learn something that you can take away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so look, there's some, now here's the thing about this. There's some sections of the Bible that are more important to have memorized than others. Okay? Look, I love the book of Leviticus. There's a lot of verses I love in there, but I don't necessarily think that every single chapter in Leviticus is the most profitable for you to memorize. But I promise you, you still learn something if you memorize it.
Right.
And so I've memorized sections of the Bible and then forgotten them. You know, a lot of the verses, they're not necessarily things that you need to fully memorize on a daily basis and have it done.
Right.
Now, I personally, I memorize chapters of the Bible, but I also memorize verses. And I have a sheet that I print off every month. There's certain verses that I memorize every single month. The same verses, because I don't want to forget those verses. Now, when you go soul winning, you're not going to forget Romans 6:23.
Right.
You're not going to forget John 3:16. But there's a lot of verses that are really great verses that you don't use soul winning. And then you might forget those verses.
Right.
So I believe it is profitable to have certain verses that you think are great. Just decide, I'm going to permanently memorize this. Every month, I want to have it at my disposal, just permanently memorize it. Now, with chapters, I have the strategy to basically memorize chapters and then basically forsake the chapters. And I'll tell you why I do this. Because, let's say, for example, you're playing a video game. Now, I don't play video games anymore, but let's say, you know, I played them when I was young. Okay? When you play a video game, the first time you beat that game is a lot of fun. And you're learning things along the way, there's new things. The second time's a lot easier.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier, and it's not as fun, because you've already done it. And so, for me, you memorize a book of the Bible, you memorize a chapter of the Bible, you learn a lot. I think it's actually more profitable after you kind of memorize it and keep it in there for a little while to move on to another book. Because you learn so much the first time you memorize it, you keep it in for a little while, rather than trying to just memorize it every single month, repeat it. Now, that's my opinion. Other people have different opinions on that. But I think you learn more by just going to some other section of the Bible and memorizing it, than rather just keep memorizing the same thing. So, I've memorized a lot of chapters in the Bible, but quite honestly, most of those I've forgotten. Because I used to try to just permanently keep every single chapter in there. And what ends up happening is, like, the book of James is the first book I memorized. And, you know, I love the book of James. It's my favorite book in the Bible. But basically, you know, you memorize it all the time, and then every month you're just like, oh man, again? I've read this book like 500 times. So you keep memorizing it over and over again. You're like, man. And it's like there's so much in the Bible. Right. If the Bible was small, then I'd say, you know, hey, definitely go for the whole thing and retain it. If you want to try it, that's fine. You know, people have different strategies. But I think it's more profitable is just go on to a new book, a new chapter. And even if you forget it, you're not going to necessarily know word for word everything in that chapter. You learn a lot when you memorize the Bible. Amen. And anyone who's actually memorized a chapter of the Bible or section of the Bible, you know that you learn a lot along the way.
Yeah,
right. You understood that very deeply. And so that's kind of my opinion, that it's even more profitable to move on. But you say, well, Brother Stucky, I don't know how to do this, though. Like, how do you even memorize the Bible? What do you do? Well, one thing you want to do if you're memorizing the Bible is get away from all distractions.
Right.
Every distraction. Okay? That means that you can't have, you know, your computer playing a sermon while you're memorizing the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to listen to a sermon and memorize the Bible at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. You're going to have to make a choice there. And so basically all distractions, whether it's TV, YouTube, whatever, your cell phone, the text messaging going off, or every 5 minutes you're checking your phone, you're going to have to get away from distractions if you want to memorize. Mm-hmm. You have distractions around you, it just isn't going to work. Now, what I personally do when I memorize the Bible is I always memorize pretty much when I'm walking. Okay? Now, honestly, there's a scientific reason why this helps, because while you're exercising, you have the capacity to learn more, they say.
Right.
As long as it's not some crazy hardcore exercise, you know, where you're fully focused on that. But, you know, if you're doing something like, you know, riding a bike or whatever, you can memorize something where it's you know, you're not as distracted. And so I basically will go for a walk. Now, some people will write out on a 4x6 card the verses over and over again. I personally don't do that. I don't feel like it helps me as much as it helps seem to help other people. What I do is I print it off. And so I'll basically have a sheet of paper, and I'll print off the chapter, and I'll basically just go walking, and I'll take the verse and take five words and just keep memorizing it over and over again in my head. And when I feel like I know that pretty well, then I add another four words to that. And eventually you get the whole verse, and you keep quoting that, and then you move on to the next verse then.
Yeah.
Now, once you memorize one verse, there's a good chance you're going to forget that same verse in 30 minutes. Right. It takes a lot of time to hide it inside.
Right.
Because, you know, over time, it just vanishes. That's just the way it is. Time really takes away knowledge, okay, that you have. And so what you want to do is really hide it down deep there. So that's what I do. I'll basically just go for a walk. But what I want you to understand is this. If you just decided today that I'm going to start trying to memorize the Bible or memorize a chapter, memorize verses, or whatever I'm going to memorize, look, the best way to learn how to do something is usually trial and error.
Right.
Basically, you're going to find out, you know, what's working for you. So, quite honestly, yeah, the first couple weeks you decide to spend 30 minutes a day memorizing the Bible, it's going to be a trial and error period where you're saying, okay, this worked for me, this didn't work, et cetera, et cetera. But look, it's not a waste.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, God's not hiding the Word of God from us. He wants you to know the Bible. He wants you to have it memorized. You say, why? It actually helps you grow, and it helps you not sin against God.
Yeah.
And so memorization is very valuable. And I would encourage everybody in this room to try to memorize 3 John. You know, it's our challenge for the month. But you say, well, I haven't memorized any of the verses. It's too late. It's not too late. It's not that long of a chapter. You have 4 weeks from now.
Right.
Okay? That's basically 3 verses a day. A little bit more than 3 verses, not a day, per week.
Yeah.
That's not that much. It's less than a verse a day. And look, these verses are not crazy long.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. In the book of 3 John, it's a pretty short chapter. You have the ability, and what I'm hoping is it can generate excitement with you where you memorize more things in the Bible. Now, when it comes to memorization, anyone who's memorized a lot of the Bible will tell you it's like the hardest thing you can do. Because you learn and you forget, and it gets very frustrating sometimes.
Yeah, right.
But you're still learning along the way. It's still valuable. We need to take the Word of God seriously. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and just getting to see your Word and the value of memorizing your Word, God. Help us to apply this sermon to our lives, God, including me, God. Help us to set aside distractions in our lives and just realize